Welcome to Between the Lines, where we explore the rich tapestry of the Bible's teachings and revelations with your hosts, David and Jonathan. Thanks for joining us on WVFF 97.7 FM as we seek to understand the deeper meanings behind the verses and discover the love of Christ and hope of his salvation. Without further ado, our hosts, David and Jonathan.
All right. You're here with Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with Dave and Jonathan. We're in Genesis. We just got through creation and the flood and the establishment of Abraham as the first Hebrew and his first covenant, which was God was given to him in its simplicity as it was when God gave it to him. Keep your heart focused on me and circumcise your children. That was it. And we're getting ready to see in the next few installments where that what that evolves into when the original dictation was keep your heart focused on me. Circumcise your children in an outward observation that you belong to me.
Inversion.
Yes. So we're here at WVFF Radio 97.7 on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. And I hope you guys have taken in installment number 1, 2, and 3. We're getting ready to hit on number 4 right now. Chapter 19, verse 1. And the Lord had just, in our last takeoff, the Lord had just told Abraham, he just renamed him Abraham, I'm going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. I've heard bad things, but I want to go and see for myself. And Abraham does his bickering with God, you know, if you find this many there, if you find that many there, will you still wipe it out? And he gets him down to 20, and God says, okay, if I find 20, I won't wipe it out, and he walks away. So we're here at chapter 19. There came two angels to Sodom at even, in the evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So Lot recognized who they were also. And it was a little history if you haven't caught installments, the last installment. When Abraham went out to the battle with the five kings, those kings had just sacked Sodom and Gomorrah and took all the people from there, including Lot. Those people were not wicked and bad like the people that moved in after that happened. It's a lot of you always wonder, well, why would Lot want to go and live in an evil place like that? But when Lot went there, it wasn't. So there's years have passed now. God has heard bad things coming from there. Lot still lives there because he owns a home there and all his possessions are there.
It's on Park Place.
And he's sitting in the gate, which only the wealthiest and the highest positioned men of the city do. So we see him here. There came two angels of Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. That's where the elders of the city. So Lot was of higher stature in the city. And apparently, even though what was going on there, and it wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah, there were two or three other little cities around there, and we're going to explain what was going on. But even with all that, he had his possessions there, and he had not gotten to the point where he was willing to just uproot and leave. And he rose up and met them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, so he recognized God and the angels when they came. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. Ye shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will abide in the street all night, as what Jesus had told Abraham in the last chapter. I want to go see for myself if what I've heard is true, all that goes on there. And he pressed him. Lot did. Lot pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him. He said, no, you really, really, really don't want to be out here in the street at night. And they said, okay, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house, surrounded the house, both old and young, and the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Now you read that through one time, you go, oh, they want to meet them. No. These are flagrant homosexual men.
Yes, sir.
And they are possessed with such lust, and these are new men.
Yes.
And they want to know them in a way that men don't want to be known.
Right. They want to know him like a man would know his wife.
Yes, exactly right. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Because Lot has recognized these are angelic beings, and probably the Son of God with them.
Right.
He's willing to sacrifice his own children for them. And I read that many, many times. As why would he do that to his daughters? But I do understand what comes first in a man's life, and God before family, and then nothing after family, you know?
Right.
Do what is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they are under the shadow of my roof. They are in my house, under my protection. I'm a wealthy man of this city. I've been here from when it was, you remember when it was all sacked and, you know, and taken over. And I've been here. You guys know me. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. He has made himself a judge of all of us. Lot, this man who came to this city, has made himself a judge of all of us. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. So they're going to take him now and do him too.
Right.
And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. And you see the grace of God. God did not allow the sacrifice of the women.
Right.
But the men put forth their hand, pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it.
Big deal.
Yes. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which were of that same lustful homosexual sect, because they were married to his daughters, and it says the daughters had not yet known a man.
Yes. Never.
So they married because that's what you were supposed to do, but that's not who they wanted to sleep with.
Right, outward appearance of being,
yes,
right, but inwardly. Yeah.
And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They were not a part of his family. They were just a family in name. They had the spirit of disobedience in them, and they wanted to stay there. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Now let me explain, and you got to go to other readings to figure out the total abomination of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other two or three little cities that were surrounded them. Once a year, now this, I mean, all this stuff happened on a daily basis, but once a year, all of these cities held this, they all went together in this little valley, and they held a mass orgy. and nothing was forbidden. Nothing was barred. Men with men, women with women, men with their children, men with their neighbors' children, fathers with daughters, fathers with sons. It was an absolute abomination, like unto God, and that's why God sent his son there to see for himself. When the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon him. He's not moving fast enough.
Yeah, exactly.
They reached out and touched him, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Instantly, they were without the city. And this was a miraculous
flash.
Yeah, beam us up, Scotty.
Yep.
Put us outside the city.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Exactly what happened.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't read that closely, you miss it. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind you, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain," because the plain was where those five cities were. He said, "Don't even stay on this flat ground. Get up there on that mountain.
Keep moving."
You have no idea what's coming, "lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." You can tell Lot and Abraham are their relatives.
Oh, yeah, just, yeah. The flimsiness and the faith, so to speak.
I've never had to... I guess I have. Everybody has quibbled with God, but face to face, I don't know that I could do it.
Yeah. And he's like, "Yeah, Dave, you know, today you're gonna go out there and you're gonna rope a horse." "No, I don't think so. I don't think I am."
No. Funny story. Now that you say rope a horse, the first horse I ever roped, I was so upset I couldn't catch this horse. And it was raining and the lot was full of mud. And I went out there and I threw that rope and I got it around that horse's neck and he drugged me halfway across the lot before I turned loose the rope. It doesn't always work like it does.
Right, in a movie?
Well, John Wayne. John Wayne is so much better at it.
Yes, sir.
He just bears back and holds that horse.
Yep.
No. My 200 pounds didn't hold that horse one little bit. And I don't know why I held on so long. Because I skied halfway across that lot on my belly. I guess I thought he'll get tired and slow down and I'll still have him.
Right.
"Behold, now the city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one." Can't be much evil there. It's just a little one.
Yeah.
"Well, let me escape thither." Is it not a little one? Is it not a little one? There can't be that many bad people in that one. "And my soul shall live." Lot didn't want to turn loose of this life either. He'd gotten accustomed, you know, I don't know how much he was participating, maybe, maybe not. But the fact that he had Abraham's bloodline in him, God was going to take him out of there, whether he was a part of it or not. I do want to say he was probably a part of it in some ways, but he didn't want to turn loose of it. And the angel said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken." So I'm going to let you go to that city. I just argued with your uncle for half an hour.
Yeah.
He pretty much won the argument. Yeah. And I don't want to do this for another half hour here.
We're not going around this morning.
So, "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither." You get there now, because I cannot do my job until you're there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Can you imagine? And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But his wife, who also did not want to turn loose of that life. Disobeyed what the angel said. Remember he said, do not even look back.
Yes, sir.
If you look back, that means regret. I wish I was still there. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham get up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of the furnace. And at that time, Abraham's thinking, I should have took it down to 5.
Yeah.
I stopped at 20. Yeah.
There's a nice park over there.
I should have followed him halfway there and got him down to 5. Although 5 wouldn't even have done it.
Nope.
What did we come out with? 4?
I think so.
Well, 3.5. The wife looked back.
Yeah.
So he'd have to get it down to 2 or 3. But and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. He didn't want to go to the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm thinking, because this city of Zoar was a brother to these other cities. Same type of people, same type of stuff going on.
Yes, sir.
And he said, you know, at least let me go there. It's a small one. You know, please don't wipe that one out. He let him go there. And now these people say, you caused this.
Yeah.
You caused this. All of our friends, all of our bedfellows.
Everybody was fine.
And they're all dead. Yeah. And it's all because of you. So now he says, oh, maybe the mountain and whatever was going to kill me there is not as bad because I can't stay here. So Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, which he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger. Now these are married women whose husbands who never touched them. We don't know how old they are, but they've been married for a while and they've never known a man. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Now, these girls, all they've ever known their entire life are these 5 cities.
Mm-hmm.
These 5 cities are gone. Everyone's dead. To them, the world is, there's nobody else out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're in a cave.
Yes.
They're dead.
I mean, they never knew Abraham's side of the family. They were born after he got there.
Mm-hmm.
All the men are gone.
Yeah.
You know, and this puzzled me why this next thing happened for so long, and I'm seeing it now. We have to start the world over again.
Right. Because their perspective is, all right, they were basically in the king's court, so to speak,
yep,
their lifestyle. So they went from living in a palace to being sucked into the side of a mountain somewhere, inside of a cave, looking out at, you know, hell falling from the sky.
Yeah.
And H-E-L-L falling from the sky. And like you just got done saying, like everything's smoky black, everything,
yeah,
like you just said, like the world's over with, we gotta repopulate.
And as far as they know, every single man is mm-hmm. dead, mm-hmm. except for their father. So the firstborn says, come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And this verse here, remember when I said I think Lot partook in what was going on there? Because wine, a lot of wine, has the opposite effect on a man that's required to procreate children.
Right, right.
But
right.
A little bit of wine doesn't.
Right.
But a little bit of wine does not overcome a man's good conscience and knowledge of what is good and evil.
Yes, yes.
So a little bit of wine and the fact that this was not far from what Lot had been doing allowed him to do this. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Now that part there is deceptive. I don't see how it's possible if a drunk man cannot conceive children. Normally, right?
Right, right, right.
So did not know when she got up and went down, but he did know that he did something with a woman. Right. Yeah. Right. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. They made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. And we're going to see the Israelites dealing with these two clans later in life. If you're just joining us, this is Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF Radio 97.7. I'm glad you could be here. The Bible is an amazing, living creation. I've read it 100 times through in earnest, and other passages hundreds of times, and I still know a fraction of what's in here. If I could read it 1,000 times through, I still couldn't say that I know what's inside and what's outside. Every word in this book requires thought. When you read it slow and methodically, read it out loud so your ears hear it, and ponder words, words and phrases, because you can read a sentence or a paragraph, and when you consider a word or the capitalization of a word, it will change the entire meaning, and God says, it does his heart good for kings to search out the mysteries in this book. He intentionally done it this way. It's full of mysteries, and his desire is that his children will earnestly search for these things and understand, come to a greater understanding of what's in this book. So chapter 20, book of Genesis, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned to Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. Okay, the second of Abraham's deceptive lies. He went through this down in Egypt. A couple installments ago, we talked about when Abram and Sarai went to Egypt. And she was in the prime of life back then. And absolutely beautifully, stunningly beautiful. And he says, you're so beautiful, they're going to kill me just to have you. So tell them you're my sister. And if you look at installment, I think installment 3, you'll see that Pharaoh learned in a harsh way through a supernatural event with an angel that was his wife. And he blessed Abram at the time. Mm-hmm. He blessed Abraham, gave him a bunch of goods and said, just please leave. And Pharaoh had become so in awe by the spirituality and the power of this man that worshiped the one true God, that he gave him his daughter and said to his daughter, it's better for you to be a servant in this man's house than a princess in mine. You got to do a whole lot of other reading to come up with all of that, but it's all the mysteries of the book. And Hagar, we see later, would bear a child, and that was Pharaoh's daughter. Hagar would bear a child to Abraham. And the two lines that still fight today, Ishmael and Isaac, are because of that. Okay, so back here. So we're here again. Abraham's journeyed somewhere. And Sarah's 100 years old. Mm-hmm. Apparently still beautiful.
Right.
Hebrews, what we discussed earlier, Hebrews were amazing. The men were powerful. Mm-hmm. The women were apparently amazingly beautiful.
Right.
So he's 100 years old, and Abraham's still scared. Somebody's going to kill him, even though God said, you're going to have a son. You're going to be the patriarch.
Yeah.
in his little mind,
he thought, I mean, Melchizedek deemed him the possessor of heaven and earth.
Yes.
Like,
yes. And in his mind, even though he believes God and God has blessed right. him for the belief, in his little mind, he forgets where Sarah's concerned because she's apparently yeah. that beautiful, and women have an effect on men. That obviously, this man's going to kill me to have you.
And he lets that little bit of fear
yes.
just overtake all that.
Doubt. Yeah. So once again, Abraham says, tell him you're my sister, not my wife. But God came to Abimelech in a dream that night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister. So there's Abraham's lie again. And she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. So Abimelech laid it all out before God.
Yeah.
He didn't suffer the fate of Pharaoh.
He's like, look, man, I didn't know.
And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also will hail thee from sinning against me.
Stay tuned as we continue our journey through the scriptures on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We'll be right back with more insightful discussions and exploration.